Praise God. Thank God for his presence here tonight. Thank God you're here tonight. Excited to see you. I trust that you sense the Lord's presence here already in our midst. You know, sometimes when we come into the house of God, it's easy, you know, to enter in. And other times we have to kind of press through, right? We've got to begin to press through the thoughts and the concerns of the week and the cares and the drama in our lives and all the stuff going on at school and at work and in our communities. But it's part of the growing process, the Lord teaching us how to fight, teaching us how to enter in, teaching us how to focus, teaching us how to keep our eyes on the prize, which is Christ. Amen. And so that's all part of the walk. And so don't be discouraged and don't be put off when you begin to experience adversity and these things, because this is part of life. It's part of the Christian walk. It's part of teaching you and I how to be soldiers in the army of the Lord. He's got no wimps in his army. I say he's got no wimps in his army. Everyone becomes mighty because of the mighty God that lives within us. Amen. He enables us to be mighty men and women of God. And that's what he's doing in you and I. He's raising us up to make a difference in this hour. And so I know the devil is very concerned tonight that you're here in the house and that you're ready to receive truth. And so we're going to believe God to work a miracle and to open up his word to us and to encourage our hearts. If you got your Bible, turn with me to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24 tonight. I want to speak to you about a divine encounter, a divine encounter. There are many things I could entitle this. I could entitle it a romantic story. I could entitle it a divine appointment. There's so many things that we could entitle this tonight. But I know the Lord wants to speak to our hearts. He wants to warm our hearts. And so I hope you've got your good ear on and that you're ready to hear what God wants to say. Are you ready tonight? I'm not going to be too long with you, but I know the Lord wants to speak to our hearts, and so we're going to trust him for this night. Now, Father, we thank you for your manifest presence here tonight. We thank you for all that you're desiring to do, and we ask for an ear to hear what your spirit wants to say to us. Lord, we're not interested in just going through the motions. We're not interested in playing religious games. Lord, we want a living relationship with the living God. We want an encounter with you. We want to behold you. We want to know you, and we want, Lord Jesus, to know who we are in you. And so reveal yourself once again to us tonight. I pray that you would minister on so many different levels, Lord, tonight, that the enemy would not know what hit him. Father, we just thank you in advance for what you're going to do. We honor you. I give you this night. Animate me tonight. God, I give you this night in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. In Genesis chapter 24, we find an incredible story of a man named Abraham, his son Isaac, his servant, his oldest servant in the house, and a woman named Rebecca. And this story, this particular passage of scripture, can be seen or as a type of the relationship you and I have with God and what God begins to do in the life of a believer. There are passages in the Old Testament. The whole Old Testament, if you didn't know this, was a giant directional sign pointing to the New Testament, pointing to the Christ, the Messiah, and what God would begin to do through, in and through his church. The desire that he had for his people and how God would redeem his people and how he would bring them to himself. And so when you read the Old Testament, one of the things you want to begin to do is look at it and not just look at it as face value, but begin to ask God to open your mind so you can begin to see yourself. You can begin to see the Savior. You can begin to see the Heavenly Father. You can begin to see his Holy Spirit at work here. So that you can see how it illustrates and relates to you and I in this present age. Amen? And so the whole Old Testament, let me say it again, is a giant directional sign pointing to the New Testament, to the Messiah, to his church and what he was about to do in the coming days. And so when you read these stories, you want God to open your mind. You want to ask him, Lord, help me to see you in this story. Help me to see Jesus in this story. Help me to see myself in this story, where I fit in here. Help me to see where you are, God Almighty, in this particular story. Help me to see the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, because the Old Testament can speak to us as well as the New Testament. Are you with me tonight? It's kind of like, you ever heard of, you ever seen that thing, thing where they give you a picture and they ask you to find Waldo? Right? They ask you to find Waldo, and all in this design, you see this big picture, and it's like, search for Waldo, find Waldo here in this thing. It's the same idea. There is a treasure in the Old Testament, a treasure of Christ and the knowledge and the revelation of the Most High God here. And as you begin to read it, the Lord will begin to speak to you about what he wants to do in and through your life. Because see, he's not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Amen. All right. When you think of Abraham, when you see Abraham in this story tonight, I want you to see him as a type of the Heavenly Father, okay? So Abraham is a type of the Heavenly Father. When we begin to talk about Isaac, Isaac is going to be a type of the Son of God, okay? Isaac is Abraham's son. He's the son of promise, okay? And Jesus obviously was the son of promise. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, amen? So the Old Testament promised a son, a child that would come. And so when you begin to see Isaac in this story, I want you to think of the Son of God, okay? And then we're going to talk about Abraham's oldest servant, who I want you to see tonight as a type of the Holy Spirit, okay? A type of the Holy Spirit who goes out in search on a mission, who is commissioned by Abraham, the father, to go on a mission. And then we're going to see Rebecca as a type of the believer, as a type of the Christian tonight. Now, the servant was commissioned by Abraham. When you begin to see this story, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 24, verse 1, starting with verse 1, Abraham was a very old man, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. One day, Abraham said to his oldest servant, the man in charge of his household, he began to commission him. He said, I want you to take an oath. And he began to cause him to swear to an oath. And he began to commission him to go forth and to find a wife for his son. Okay, so here is the father, Abraham, commissioning his oldest servant to find a wife for his son, Isaac. Okay, and this is a type of how God the Father commissioned the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit in union with God, because he is God as well, he's part of the Godhead, how he was commissioned to find a wife for Jesus, okay? Commissioned to find a bride for Jesus. And we are part of the church, which is considered the bride of Christ. Are you with me? Did I lose you? No, you're still with me. Okay. I'm painting a picture for you. Okay. So here is the chief servant, the oldest servant in the house. He's a trusted servant. He is Abraham's servant, and he is commissioned now to go find a wife for Abraham's son, Isaac. Okay. Abraham, remember, is a type of who? God, the heavenly father. Isaac is a type of the son of promise. Okay. And the oldest servant is a type of the Holy Spirit. He's commissioned by God to find a bride for Isaac, okay? Now, when you continue to read the story, he is given clear instructions on what he's to do. He's to go to this particular land. He's to travel to a distant land. In verse 10, it says, he traveled to a distant land, Haram. And this is a distant land. And I think of the gulf that God spanned when he came to save us. He sent his son, like the song says, from heaven to earth to show the way, right? Lord, I lift your name on high. Very familiar song, right? He came from heaven to earth. He has commissioned this great distance to find you and I. Amazing. He's commissioned to come to earth to get you and I, to save us, to rescue us, to find us. Praise God. It goes on to say here that in verse 10, I'm sorry, in verse 8, that he is under no circumstances are you to take my son there. In other words, he's not to go to where she is. She has to come to where he is. Okay, that's a very important, okay? The idea here is that Abraham was set aside by God that his lineage would be a holy people, a people who would represent God in the earth, a people who would be dedicated to God, set apart for his purposes and plan so that they would be a light to the nations around them. Israel was to be a light to the nations around them. So there was a separation that took place. God, when he called Abraham to leave his family, he told him, you're going to leave this place. You're going to leave this place and you're going to follow me. You're going to follow me to a place that I'm going to show you. I'm going to take you somewhere where you've never gone before. Okay. And so, and it was a type of the separation that takes place. We were once in the world, but then when Christ comes to save us, he sanctifies us. He sets us apart. He changes our lives. So we're no longer like the world. When you begin to look at Rebecca's family, you find that in her household was idol worship. They worshiped idols. Her brother was Laban. Okay, Uncle Laban, you remember Jacob, who goes on later to get also to find a wife in Laban's house. Laban has idols. So there was idolatry in this house. And so Abraham, when he's called out of this particular place, out of his family, he's called out of idol worship. He's called out of from worshiping and serving the gods that his family served, okay, to serve the true and living God. Now, this is what the Lord does in our lives as well. Amen. Are you with me tonight? He begins to separate us from the life we once lived, from the idolatry, from the things that our parents and aunts and uncles once worshiped and found dear, from the things that society holds dear, the things that society tells you is okay. God begins to separate you and I from these things. I think of how society tells you and I that it's okay to have sex outside of marriage. That's the mindset of society, right? They tell you it's okay. You can have sex outside the confines of marriage. You can have sex with people of the opposite sex or the same sex. This is what society tells you today. But when you come to Christ, there is a separation that begins to take place. When God begins to call you and I out of what we once thought was true, and what was right and was acceptable in our society, the Lord begins to call us out of that and begins to separate us unto himself to show us what truly is acceptable, what truly is right, what he created us for. He has a higher standard. He has a place that he wants to take you and I that this world knows nothing about. It's an incredible place. It's a bountiful place. It's a rich place. A place where you and I are satisfied, where we find what we were truly created for. The Lord begins to separate us unto himself for his purposes and his plans. And so this is what begins to happen. So the Messiah is not to become like us, but we become like him. Are you with me? This is what was meant here when he said, under no circumstance are you to take my son back into that lifestyle. He's not to conform to her lifestyle. She has to be willing to leave her father's house, leave everything behind, everything that she's trusted in, she's relied on, she's depended in, every one of the things that she's pursued to this point. She has to be willing to leave all that behind so that she can be joined to my son. Amen? Praise God. So folks, it's not acceptable if society tells you, you know, you can cheat on your taxes, you can cheat on your exams, you can take this from your office, you can write a little buffer around your numbers, you can buffer your numbers, you know, so you can get more money, or you can do, society tells you can do that, but it's not okay. Your job might tell you, just lie. Well, just lie about this. I think of one young person who got a new job and working in this particular position, and as they're working in this position, the boss began to ask them to lie about certain things, and they finally had to stand up and say, listen, I'm a Christian. I can't do that. I can't do that. And this one particular person, thank God, God honored them, and the boss said, okay, and stopped asking them to do that. But I've known other young people who have done the same thing and stood for the Lord but lost their jobs, but they obeyed God. See, and we're a testimony and a light. And even though they've lost their job, God will provide it. He can always provide another job. He can always provide another job. Are you with me tonight? Because that's who he is. He's Jehovah Jireh, the provider. He can provide another job. But see, that person has only one shot at being a testimony and a light to that boss. Right? Sometimes that boss might be testing you to see, are you the real deal or what? Maybe all their life they've seen phonies and they're wanting to know, are you real? Are you going to stand for what you believe in? And obviously, the Lord never asks you and I to stand in our own strength. He gives us everything we need to make a difference. We're not alone, and we're going to see that as we continue tonight. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in verse 11 that as the servant traveled to this distant land, he made the camels kneel beside a well. Just outside the town, it was evening, and evening is always a type in the scriptures of dark times, darkness, dark period, difficult times, you know. And so if you find yourself in difficult times, don't lose heart tonight, because evening was always a type of that in the scripture. Evening, and it says, and the women were coming out to draw water. Now, you talk about a divine appointment. I love this. He made the camels kneel beside a well just outside of town. It was evening time. So the timing is perfect. You know God's timing is perfect. He knows just when to come to you. When you were in your lowest point, when you were in your deepest pit, when you were at that point where you just didn't know which way to turn, what to do next, the Lord just swooped in and said, here I am. Here I am. I love you. Would you trust me? Would you give me your heart? Would you give me your heart? You might have hit rock bottom. Maybe you were a pothead. Maybe you were, everybody looked at you and called you a slut or a loser or whatever. And everybody totally gave up on you. But God said, no, that's not who you are. I've got a new name for you. I'm going to put my name over you. People might have written you off and said, you're just going to be another statistic. But no, God says, no, that's not what you're going to be. I call you mighty man, mighty woman of valor. Hallelujah. I got a plan for you. You are mine. You belong to me. Would you trust me with your future, with your life? You could be up to here in student loans. But the Lord's not taken by surprise. He knows what you've got on your plate. He knows what type of skeletons you have in your closet. He knows everything that has taken place. And nothing is too hard for the Lord. Amen. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about you. And he comes at that moment, that time where you're just at the end of yourself. You don't know what to do. He just comes at that point. He knows how and when and where to meet you. It says he made the camels kneel beside a well, beside this particular well, beside this particular place where you could be refreshed. The Bible goes on to say in verse 15, before he had finished praying, he begins to pray and say, God, direct me, lead me to the right person. He saw a young woman named Rebecca coming out with her water jug on her shoulder. And the Bible says she went down to the spring, filled her jug, and came up. She came up again. Later on, it says that in verse 14, in verse 16. But I think of, you know, when I read this particular verse, it reminded me of another woman who was at a well at one point, and she went to draw water. And one day, she has no idea who she's about to meet. She gets to this well, and there's a man by the name of Jesus who knows everything about her. And he knows how many husbands she's had. In other words, he knows all the things she's tried, all the relationships, all the pursuits she's gone after, all the things she's tried to acquire to quench the thirst in her soul. He knows it all the husbands, all the things she's gravitated to, all the marriages, all the things she's joined herself to, only to find herself empty. And he's right there, ready to meet her, ready to satisfy her, ready to give her living water. What have you trusted in tonight? What type of relationship have you joined yourself to? What type of career have you pursued? What type of dream and agenda have you pushed and pushed and pushed to make happen? What type of doors have you tried to kick down only to find yourself empty, miserable? You need to know tonight that the Lord knows where you are. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly where you've been. I think of a young man who said he was born and raised in a godly home where his parents loved him very much. He said, I can remember accepting Jesus into my heart at the age of 12. But shortly after, I began to be intrigued by the things of this world. And I looked, he said, I looked up to my older brother as I saw him doing things which I knew I never could do. I had never experienced because I was too young. But the longing was still in my heart. And so as a young man in church, I began living a double lifestyle. He said, I would be careful with the things I did because I didn't want anyone to know. So he would hide the stuff he was doing so no one would know what he was up to. He said, and I figured since I was still a virgin, I was still not that bad in God's eyes. Once I turned 18, though, I took full advantage of my freedom and put God on a shelf in pursuit of the life I was longing to live. This was the beginning of a life of drugs, parties, fornication, which is sleeping with someone outside of the confines of marriage, having sex outside of marriage, and being arrested multiple times. He said, this was my so-called freedom. He thought I was free now. But I always felt deep inside my heart that I wasn't going to be living this lifestyle too long because God's word was still placed in my heart as a child. There was a seed that had been deposited in his heart as a child. At home, I had two praying parents and a family who never gave up on me. And they didn't beat me down with the scriptures either, he said. They just loved me as Christ loved me, even when I was in rebellion. He said, they just kept loving me. The way my parents lived their lives out in front of me was what drew me back to God because I saw them filled with peace and joy. He said, they had something I knew nothing about. He said, I began to see something in them that created a thirst, a longing in my soul. And it wasn't enough for me to stay enslaved to the devil and to this world, so-called freedom. He said, after being arrested once again, I began to cry out to God for him to change me. And that's exactly what he did. He said he began to take away the desires to smoke, drink, party all the time. I even had the strength to stop sleeping around with my girlfriend at the time, who is today radically saved by Jesus Christ and to whom he married, hallelujah, about 2 weeks ago. Her growth in Christ brings me so much joy, he says, because where he took us both out of, that's what he can do for anyone. And I had the privilege of doing both their wedding, doing their wedding a couple of weeks ago. And what a joyous wedding it was just to see what God had done in and through their lives. They were at the altar, and I don't think I've ever seen as much giggling, you know. Between a couple, and I've done tons of weddings over the years, and there was just a sweet presence of the Lord, and they would just giggle and they would cry. But it was amazing to me because, see, they had made the right choices, not in their own strength. They didn't just grit their teeth and say, okay, we're going to do what God says to do. No, they acknowledged willfully, God, I can't do this. You've got to help me to stand for you. And the Lord did just that. He helped them to stand for him and to become a testimony in this generation. Praise God. Hallelujah. The scripture says, Rebecca went down to the spring, filled her jug, and came up again. Then the servant asked her later on, he begins to ask her, whose daughter are you? In verse 23. Whose daughter are you? He asked her. And this reminds me of another passage of scripture. A passage of scripture found in the Old Testament. When Jacob, you might remember the story, one night he's afraid, he's fearful because of the way he's lived. His name is Supplanter, Deceiver, and because of the way he's lived, he's on the run, he's afraid. He's afraid of what his brother's going to do to him. And so one night an angel comes to him, a man comes to him and begins to wrestle with him and finally begins to ask him, what is your name? Who are you, Jacob? Who are you? What is your name? What is your struggle? What is your battle? What are you going through? What have you done? And folks, that's what this began to remind me of. Whose daughter are you? When he asked her that, and she all of a sudden began to confess, I am the daughter of Bethuel, she replied in verse 24. This is who I am. And see, sometimes the Lord will come to you and I, and all he's waiting for is for you and I just to admit, God, I need you. Lord, I need you. I'm struggling in this area. Lord, I am a liar. I'm a liar. I lie to everybody. I put up a front. I come to church. I raise my hands. I sing the songs, but I go out and I live a double life. This is who I am, Lord. Lord, I'm sleeping around with my girlfriend. This is who I am. I'm a fornicator. Lord, I am in compromise. I love playing violent video games. I don't read my Bible. I don't pray. God, this is who I am. And see, when you and I come to the Lord and we say, this is who I am, you know what God can do? He can work with that. See, the Bible says he desires truth in the inward parts. A broken and a contrite heart he will not despise. And so when you and I are willing to say, Lord, this is who I am, you know what he does? He just grabs you. He wraps you up in his arms and he just takes you. And he enables you to become what you can never be and takes you where you can never go. This is what God begins to do supernaturally. And you'll see this as this story continues to progress here. Jacob said, I'm a supplanter. I'm a deceiver. This is what he said. And the Lord said, that's no longer your name. Your name's no longer going to be Jacob. It's going to be Israel. You're going to be a prince. You're going to be God governed. This is who you are. I'm going to define who you are from here on out. Are you with me tonight? The servant asked her, he begins to ask her, is there room in your house? Verse 23, would your father have any room to put us up for the night? Is there room in your house? I think of Mary and Joseph who went to the inn, right? When Mary was pregnant with baby Jesus, and they go to the innkeeper and they say, is there room? And he says, of course, there's no room. And they have to go to the farmhouse. And Jesus is born in a manger. You know the story. But I think of, you know, how the door was closed. There wasn't room in the house. And I think about that, you know, here, you know, the servant comes and says, is there room in your house? And thank God there was room in her house. And I trust there's room in your house tonight. Is there room in your house for Jesus? Is there room in your life for Jesus? I said, is there room in your life for Jesus? Is there room in your house? The scripture goes on to say that later on, after he began to give her gifts and began to worship the Lord and thank God for his success, that the young woman ran home, verse 28. She ran home to tell her family everything that had happened. She ran home to tell her family everything that had happened. I think of a young girl who in this church, young woman in this church, raised a Hindu, taught to worship multiple gods. But all of a sudden, she meets a young man and he begins to share Christ with her and they become friends and he's just sharing Christ with her. He's just sharing the Lord with her. And all of a sudden, God begins to open her eyes to the fact that Jesus is God, that he is the true and the living God. And all of a sudden her eyes are open and she can't stay the same. She can't do the same thing. She can't go back to worshiping idols and all these strange gods and all these things. And so she begins to stand for Jesus. But as she does begin to stand for Jesus, conflict comes into her home. She went home and began to tell everybody, you know, little by little, what God was doing in her life. And her family wasn't very happy because they had their own religion, their own belief system. And so they thought she was nuts. She joined a cult. What's wrong with you? You know, you've been brainwashed and all this stuff. But little by little, she just began to stand for the Lord and trust God. And there were times where they were ready to forbid her to come to church and all these things. But she kept standing for the Lord and trusting God. And little by little, over the years, God has been moving on her family's heart, her parents' heart. Hallelujah. Moving on her parents' hearts, softening their hearts towards the things of God, towards the gospel. And praise God, they're not saved yet, but she's believing God to save them. She's believing the Lord to get a hold of their hearts, but God is chipping away at the hardness in their hearts. Praise God. I think of the demoniac of the Gadarenes, who Jesus said, go home and tell them, tell your family, tell everyone what the Lord has done for you. And he, of course, he leaves and he begins to tell the whole town what happens, what has happened in his life. And this is what you and I are called to do, right? This should be the natural response of what God does in our lives. We go and we tell everyone. I remember when I first got saved, I witnessed to everything and everyone. Anything move, you need Jesus. Oh, sorry. You know, it could be a dog. I mean, anything moved around me. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need Christ. You need the Lord, you know. That zeal, that excitement about what the Lord had done in my life because of everything that had happened in my life. Praise God. When the servant goes to the house, he's in the house, and he begins to tell her family what has happened, what has transpired, how he was commissioned by Abraham to go find a wife for Abraham's son, who has been given all of Abraham's inheritance, which is a picture in itself. All of Abraham's inheritance is given to Isaac. Everything of God has been given to the son. All the inheritance is given to him. And guess what? It goes to the church. It goes to the bride as well. Hallelujah. Every promise in the book is ours. But this is an incredible story because he goes into the house. He begins to share with them what has happened. And they are like amazed at the story, right? And so you would think they'd be willing. And they say, yeah, she can go. But then in verse 55... In verse 55, it says, but we want Rebekah to stay with us at least 10 days. Then she can go. You know, there are relationships that may try to hinder us from going on with God. We may have relationships that may hinder us from going on with the Lord, that may threaten to keep us back. I'm talking about friendships. I'm talking about, you know, evil associations, sometimes even business alliances that are ungodly, unhealthy, that can begin to hold us back from what God wants to do in our lives. I'm talking about romantic relationships. I'm talking about relationships that where you have formed a soul tie that is unhealthy, where you've become dependent on this person, and they're dependent on you, and you can't function without one another. And instead of running to the Lord, you run to this person. It could be a controlling relationship. Sometimes we have relationships that might threaten or hinder us from going on with the Lord. Are you with me tonight? When I first came to Christ, I was in an ungodly relationship. I had a girlfriend. We were sleeping together, and it just wasn't right. We both got saved the same day in the same house. My best friend's dad, who was a pastor, shared the gospel with us right in his living room. It was my best friend, his girlfriend, my girlfriend at the time, and myself, the four of us, we were in the living room. His dad, my best friend's dad, was a pastor. He shared the gospel with us. We all got saved that day. But my best friend, he went on with the Lord. His girlfriend, she lasted a little while, but then turned back to the world. And then I and my girlfriend, we were living in sin. So I said, we can't live in sin anymore. We both wanted to go on with the Lord. So we broke up, of course, and went on with our lives, went on with the Lord. She went to another church. I was going to another church and then eventually ended up coming here. And then, of course, God blessed me with the right woman. You know. And so, you know, there are times when you're in a relationship that might just not be healthy. And the Lord will give you the grace to separate. Sometimes you might be in a friendship that is just not healthy. Someone's there and they're just speaking death into your life. Instead of encouraging you, all they're doing is complaining. All they're doing is speaking bad and evil of other people. Right? You know what I'm talking about. All they do is gossip, bochinches, bochincheros, you know? All they do is just bad mouth, talk about people, you know, gossiping, tale bearing. Did you hear? Did you hear? Or they might come to you under the guise, we need to pray about this. And then they go, blah, they just vomit this stuff on you. And that's what it is, folks. It's not edifying. It's not anything that's going to build you up, right? It's stuff that poisons you, poisons your view of that person. Now you can no longer look at that person the same. Now you're suspicious of that person. Folks, I see this stuff in youth groups, in young adult groups. I see this stuff all the time. I can see girls, they can be friendly, talking, you know, hanging out. And the next thing you know, they're like, they're like, I mean, stabbing each other in the back. Folks, I've seen this stuff. I've seen it over the years. I've been a youth pastor for a long time, and I've seen it over the years. Sometimes we need to separate ourselves. Sometimes we need to do that. And I'll tell you what, when you begin to walk with God, guess what? Those friends that don't want to walk with God will separate themselves from you. When you start making right choices, they'll separate themselves from you. Praise God. It's quiet in here. But I love this. In verse 58, the Bible says they called Rebekah. So her family calls her in and they ask her, are you willing to go with this man? They asked her. And she replied, yes, I will go. Praise God. And folks, we have to make a decision to go with God. You and I have to make up our minds. I'm going with the Lord. And it doesn't matter how many struggles or battles, stuff you have, issues you have. The moment you make up your mind, I'm going with the Lord. Guess what? The Lord says, okay, let's go. But you've got to make a decision. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? If the Lord is God, serve him. Amen? Or if you're going to serve the world, but make up your mind. As for me and my house, and this youth group, and this church, and the body of Christ, we're going all the way with Jesus. Amen? Verse 61, the Bible says, then Rebekah and her servant girls mounted the camels and followed the man. Followed the man. We too must choose to follow the Lord's leading in every area of our lives. He is to lead the way. You and I have to learn to follow the Lord. We're doing an incredible series, and if you haven't been a part, you're missing it. But on Sunday nights, we're doing a wonderful series with our CCG group, College and Career group, and our young adult group. So 18 to 29, that whole age bracket. We're doing a wonderful series on Sunday nights called Experiencing God. And in that series, we're learning how to hear the Lord's voice. And if you're not there, you're missing out. It's an awesome, awesome time. And so I want to encourage you, if you want to know the Lord's voice, you come and you join us on Sunday nights for this. But the Bible says Rebekah followed the man. She followed him out. And it says, so Abraham's servant took Rebekah and went on his way. And this began to speak to me. You know, the Lord takes us where we need to go. He makes us what we need to be. He enables us to do what we can't do in our own strength. Folks, I could never have imagined being a youth pastor. I could never have imagined being a worship leader for 14 years, leading over 1,500 worship services. I could never have imagined doing that over the years. I was an introvert. I still am an introvert. Shy. You know, the only reason I'm here is because of God. I'll tell you, it's the Lord who's laid an axe to the root of that fear in my life, the fear of man. And One day it just got to a point where I said, Lord, I want to win my peers to God. I was in college. I got saved at 19. I said, I want to win souls for Jesus. You got to help me, Lord. And so I just started going out with the youth group, my youth group at the time. They would go witnessing. So I would go witnessing with them. And quite often you get paired with somebody who's a little bit more bold, you know, so you watch them, how they're sharing their faith and stuff, and you see how they do it, you know, and then you're like, Lord, help me. And that's what I began to do. I just began to pray to do that. But there's no way I could have imagined being here doing what I'm doing, folks. It's only the grace of God. But see, he took me to what he had planned for my life from the very beginning. And this is what God will do. He will take you where you need to go. I'm not saying God, he wants you to be a pastor. He may want you to be a pastor. He might want you to be a missionary. He might want you to be a surgeon. He might want you to be an electrician. He might want you to be a teacher. He may want you to be a housewife for a season. He might want you to be an engineer. He might want you to be a plumber. He may want you to be in the sanitation department, picking up garbage every week, but doing that well and getting incredible benefits. And serving there too. Folks, it doesn't matter where you serve as long as you serve him. I said, as long as you serve him and you're in the perfect plan of God, you're in the perfect will of God. That's all that matters, because then you're satisfied. And yeah, you go through hard times. We all go through hard times. But listen, I'd rather go through hard times with God on my side than go through hard times against the Lord. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather be on the Lord's side than on the devil's side. Are you with me? So I'd rather go with the Lord. You're going to go through hard times no matter what, because it rains on both the just and the unjust. Everybody's got problems. Everybody's got drama. Everybody's got issues. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter what kind of neighborhood you live in. It just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many cars, how big the home, how small the apartment. It doesn't matter. Everybody's got problems. But I'd rather go through stuff with Jesus than without him. Praise God. Abraham, servant, took Rebekah. God will take you. He'll take you to where you need to be. Trust me. There were times I prayed. I said, Lord, guide me. I don't know what to do. What do I do in this situation? And finally, I had to make a decision, and I just had to trust the Lord with the outcome, you know, and make the decision. And there are times where, you know, I was just praying. And I have to tell you, looking back at my life, I've got to tell you, I've been walking with the Lord for, it'll be 27 years, 27 years, October 10th. Today's what, the 5th? Right? The 4th. Today's the 4th. Is it the 4th today? Okay. So the 5th. 27 years next week that I've been walking with the Lord. And I've got to tell you, there were times where I didn't even feel like I was being led of God, and I was being led of God. He was ordering my steps. God's not mocked. You know, the scripture is true. The steps of the godly are ordered of the Lord, established of the Lord. But it doesn't end there. It says he delights in his way. That's what the King James says. New Living Translation says he delights in every detail of their lives. Do you know he delights in every detail of your life? Every detail, he delights in it. So Rebekah joins the servant. He took Rebekah and went on his way. And while they're traveling, I can imagine Rebecca traveling with the servant. You think she was quiet? I think she was asking him questions. So what's he like? How tall is he? Does he have muscles? You know? Can he carry me across the threshold? Or do I have to carry him across? No. I can imagine her asking him all kinds of questions along the way. And you can do that. You can do that. You can ask the Lord all kinds of questions. The Holy Spirit is with you always. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you the counselor, the comforter, an advocate who will be with you always. The Holy Spirit. You're never going to be alone. He's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to lead you. And so I imagine he's leading her, you know, towards Canaan land, towards the house of Abraham and Isaac. And the Bible says in verse 64, when Rebekah looked up and saw Isaac, she quickly dismounted her camel and she said, in verse 65, "Who is that man walking through the fields to meet us?" She asked the servant. Who is that man walking through the fields to meet us? You know, as we walk with God, we'll want to know more about him and what he's like. And that's what the Lord will do. He delights in revealing himself to us. He will reveal himself to you. He wants to reveal himself to you. And no matter what your situation is, if you need something, he wants to be right there to meet that need. He's Jehovah Jireh, right? So he'll reveal himself as Jehovah Jireh. If you need healing, he's your overoffer. He's your healer. I think of so many who don't have medical insurance in this hour. You don't have medical insurance. You can't find a job. You don't have medical insurance. Well, he's your healer. He's your healer. He's your provider. He's the lover of your soul. Who is that man walking through the fields to meet us? The Lord delights in revealing himself to you. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, he will take of that which is mine and give it to you. He will begin to show you who I am. The Bible says, and the servant replied, "It is my master." You know, when you ask God, "Who are you?" He goes, bam, "This is who I am." He just begins to, you know what sometimes he'll do? He'll put you in a situation where in that situation, he's going to reveal himself as the one to meet that situation, that need. Sometimes he'll allow you to come into a particular crisis or a difficulty, but in the midst of that, he's going to show you who he is. "It is my master," the servant said. Hallelujah. This is who God is. This is what the Holy Spirit does. I'll ask our musicians to begin to come. The Bible says then Isaac, I love this story. I'm a hopeless romantic. I am. I just love this story. That's why I love weddings. I cry at weddings, even when I'm doing them sometimes. Sometimes I'll cry at them too, even when I'm performing the wedding. It's terrible. My wife says, "You're such a softy." I wasn't always like that. But I love this. It says in verse 67, "Then Isaac brought Rebekah into his mother's tent, and she became his wife." Hallelujah. Do you know you and I have been accepted in the Beloved? He has received us. When you place your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become a child of God. Your citizenship is transferred to heaven. Heaven becomes your home. This is no longer your home. Heaven is your home. And the Bible says Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you and I. And he's going to come back and receive us as his own. Hallelujah. He's gone to prepare a feast, a marriage supper of the Lamb, and he's going to come back and get us. When your mother and your father forsake you, the Lord takes you in. The scripture says he loved her deeply. God loves you with an everlasting love. And there is nothing that can separate you from that love tonight. It doesn't matter what kind of week you've had. It doesn't matter what you've done this week, what you didn't do this week. Nothing can separate you from his love. Would you give him praise tonight? Abraham sent his servant on a mission to find a wife for his son. The Holy Spirit has been commissioned to find a wife for Jesus, a bride, the bride of Christ, to bring in the church. This is his dispensation, this is his hour, and this is what he's doing. Gathering you and I into the house of God. And just as Abraham's servant was successful, so too the Holy Spirit will be successful. The servant delivered Rebekah into Isaac's arms. And one day, the Holy Spirit is going to deliver us into the arms of Jesus, forever to be with him, never to be separated again. Hallelujah. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Would you bow your heads with me? Now, Father, I've shared what you've placed in my heart, and I thank you for every young person that's here tonight. I pray that you would indeed bring a separation between light and darkness, between that which is holy and that which is profane. Lord, you have higher heights, greater depths that you want to take us to. There's an incredible intimacy, walk with you, life in you, if we will only trust you. I pray for a boldness to come into the hearts of every young person here in the house, that we would say, yes, I will go. I will go. I will go with God. I'm going with Jesus. I'm going with God. Tonight, if you're here and you're a Christian and you say, Pastor, the Holy Spirit's spoken to me. There are some things in my life that he's been wanting to deliver me from. And tonight I've heard his voice and I want to say yes to him. I want to go with God. If that's you, would you raise your hand tonight all over this place? Unashamedly, it's okay. You're among family. God bless you all over this house. Praise God. Praise God in the back here, in the middle, over here on this side as well. Praise God. Awesome. Awesome. Anyone else? Anyone else? Folks, we're not going to look down at you. This is an important time, important night. It's a night of miracles, a night of change, a night of freedom. A night of freedom. We were praying before the service that this would be a night of freedom for young people. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Maybe you once walked with the Lord and you've drifted away. You've grown cold. You've been going through the motions. But you say, Pastor, I want to come back to Jesus. I want to come back to my first love. If that's you, would you raise your hand tonight? Praise God. Anyone else? God bless you. God bless you. Amen. You can put your hands down. In a moment, we're going to stand. And I'm going to invite those of you who raised your hands and those of you who didn't. Maybe you should have raised your hand. Your heart might be beating 100 miles an hour tonight. It's the Holy Spirit. He's saying, this is your night of freedom. Don't put it off. Those that are next to you will make room for you. But let's all stand quietly and reverently tonight. Quietly and reverently tonight. If you raise your hand, I'm going to invite you to step out of your seat. We're going to worship for a moment. You come to this altar. Also want to give an invitation for young people that are here for the first time. And you've never surrendered your heart to Jesus Christ. Maybe like me, you were raised a Catholic, or you were raised like the young girl I mentioned earlier, a Hindu or in some other religion or belief system. But yet tonight in your heart was warmed. You know that you know in your gut that what you heard was the truth. And the reason that is because Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will testify of me. He will bear witness of me. He said, you're to bear witness of me, but the Holy Spirit will also bear witness of me. And 27 years ago, I sat in that living room, and when I heard this pastor speaking, I knew in my gut, this is what I've been searching for all my life. I had searched for it in relationships. I had searched for it in my career, in my education, in sports, in my friendships, and partying, drinking, smoking weed, all these things, and nothing would satisfy me. But I knew in my gut, this is what you've been searching for. This is your moment to rise to the occasion and be all that God created you to be. And so that day I stood in that living room. It wasn't easy though. There was a voice on the inside, another voice, the voice of the devil, saying, don't do it. You got your own religion. You got your own belief system. What are your parents going to think? What are your friends going to think? What's everybody going to think? Finally, I just found myself standing up. I said, I've got to have the truth, because only the truth can make you free. Tonight, the truth is a person. It's Jesus. And so if you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, maybe you're here for the first time and you say, Pastor, I want to surrender. I want this God that I heard about, this God who loved me, who was willing to sacrifice his son for me. I want to know the life he had for me from the very beginning. If that's you tonight, I want to invite you to get out of your seat as well and come to the front here. And we're going to pray in a moment and believe God to work a miracle in your life. Amen. Praise God. I want brothers with brothers, sisters with sisters to put a hand on each other's shoulder right now, but on those that have responded to the front here. And we're going to pray for one another tonight. Believe God to work a miracle in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Folks, would you stretch forth your hands towards these young people that have responded? And would you begin to take a moment, take a minute, and begin to pray for them, that God would meet them right at their place of need, that He would work a miracle in their life? Oh, Jesus. Father, we thank You for the privilege of prayer. Lord, Your word says You sought for a man to stand in the gap, to make up the hedge, but You found none. Behold Your body, Your church tonight, as we stand, Lord, and fight for our brothers and fight for our sisters. Lord, we fight for one another tonight and pray that You would work a miracle tonight. Would You work a miracle tonight in this house? Would You touch every single one of these young people and set them free, Lord, and help them, Lord, to get past, Lord, whatever hurdles, whatever struggles, whatever battles are there. God, in Jesus' name, we're asking for a miracle. We're asking for supernatural intervention. Lord, You've already intervened by sending Your word. You said You sent Your word and You healed us. Lord, thank You for intervening tonight. Lord, we know that You're going to finish the work You've begun. Glorify Your name. We stand against every lie of hell. Lord, every attempt of the enemy to keep them captivated. Lord, to lie to them, to tell them they're not going to go any further. Lord, we thank You that the devil is defeated, that the devil is a liar, the father thereof, Lord. Lord, You said You shall know the truth. Lord, You are the truth, Lord. You are the truth, and the truth will make You free. Thank You for freedom tonight. Thank You that Your anointing still breaks every yoke. Your anointing still breaks every yoke tonight. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, be magnified, be glorified, sever every tie, Lord, every tie, every unhealthy tie. I pray that You would sever soul ties tonight. Unhealthy soul ties, Jesus. Unhealthy relationships, that You'll sever them in the name of Jesus. That You'll bring freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty tonight. We proclaim freedom, Lord. Freedom over every captive. Freedom, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray for healing of minds and hearts. Healing, oh God. Healing, oh God, healing. I pray for healing of nightmares tonight, healing of recurring nightmares. Lord, I pray for healing and freedom, Lord Jesus. Healing tonight, healing tonight, God. Healing tonight, we proclaim healing. We thank You for what You're doing in this place, God. We bless Your holy name. We glorify Your name, God. We honor Your name. We exalt Your name above every name. We thank You that every sickness, Lord, every struggle, every battle, Lord, every skeleton, Lord, every hindrance has to bow to the name of Jesus. To the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now tonight, by faith, we receive our freedom. We receive our healing. We receive, oh God, Your plan for our lives. We say yes to You, Lord. We're going with You. We're following You. We're believing You. Lord Jesus, thank You that You are going to finish the great work You've begun in us. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for what You're doing tonight. Thank You for what You're doing tonight, Lord. We honor You. We glorify You. We magnify Your name tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, we need to praise Him tonight. We need to bless His holy name. Bless His holy name. Hallelujah. We bless You tonight. We bless You tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those of you who responded, we've got some of our prayer partners that have been praying for you. And would you do us a favor? Would you let them speak to you, minister to you before you go? Please don't leave if you're here for the first time without letting our prayer partners talk to you a bit. But if you've given your heart to the Lord, it's going to be essential that you get involved in a local church body. And if you're not from around here, we can recommend the church maybe in your community, your area. But if you're here in this neighborhood or you're from around here and you've enjoyed yourself, you're welcome to come fellowship with us, come hang with us. Every Sunday, 3 o'clock, we have a new believers class, the foundations class here in room 203. Somebody say 203. 203 in our annex, and anyone can direct you there if you come on Sunday. But the Lord loves you, and we love you, and we thank God for what He's doing in your heart tonight. There is no limit to what God will do. No limit. No limit. The sky is not even the limit. to what God will do in your life as you continue to say yes and entrust him with the steering wheel of your heart and future. Amen. God bless you. Let's go rejoicing in the name of the Lord. Praise God. Please don't leave tonight lonely. Please don't leave without greeting someone. Please make sure you welcome somebody. If you see somebody by themselves, you smile them down. You give them a good handshake. Amen. And greet someone in the name of the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight, visiting with us. We love you. In Jesus' name.